Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. On today's episode, I'm going to be telling more of my story. And today I'm choosing to tell you the story of what led to my arrest. So before I dive in, just a little couple of things. First of all, if you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't miss an episode of the show. And also, if you haven't already, please come join my Facebook group over on Facebook. Just search the Let Good Things In show, or you can find the link in the show notes of today's episode to join, where we are going to be having a lot of conversations around the podcast and other things and bringing in special guests to bring more hope and inspiration into your lives. So I cannot wait to welcome you there. And other than that, let's dive into today's episode. So if you've been following the Monday episodes, you'll know already that I'm a child of divorce at age 15. I gave my firstborn daughter up for adoption around age 19, and that led me down a path of a lot of toxic relationships and situations that, you know, if maybe my life had turned out differently, wouldn't have happened. But I, again, you know, I wouldn't trade my past because it brought me here today to be able to inspire and give you everyone listening hope into their lives. But those were like the stepping stones into what led to me completely essentially self-sabotaging everything that I thought I was going to be in my life and really took for granted myself, first and foremost. I never thought of me. I never sat around and, you know, before making a choice, thought, well, how is this going to affect me long term? It was always short term thinking, as in, okay, well, if I don't make this choice that my gut is telling me is wrong, I'm going to therefore lose my best friend, lose my boyfriend, lose whatever was going on. And I couldn't risk it at that point in my life. I couldn't allow myself to risk losing these things and people because I thought in my head, well, if I lose them, I'm left with nothing. So through all of those early experiences, you know, the partying kept happening, the toxic relationships were always in effect. I did not know how to have a healthy relationship or a friendship. So I was always, like I said, I was being that chameleon, so to speak, to fit in with whoever was around me at the time so that they would accept me and want me around more so that I wasn't alone. So I was in like my early 20s when this situation occurred, and I had already experienced so much. So I was way deeper into self-loathing and just not feeling like I was good enough. And at this point, you know, I had gotten my own apartment for my son and I, and I was so proud of myself. And it wasn't, I wasn't paying for this apartment though. I was, well, here in the US, I don't know if it's all over the US, but here where I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we have what's called Section 8. So I had applied, and it takes forever to get Section 8, but I had applied and I got it, and I got this apartment that was just for my son and I. All I had to do was secure a job and then I could get a car. So I was like, well, this is perfect. And these are all government funded programs. And I was just so excited to have this experience with, you know, having my own place. There was no guy living with us. It was literally just my son and I. But that quickly folded because I couldn't handle being by myself, which you could tell from my previous experiences, Amanda alone never happened because I wouldn't allow it to happen. Because I think now looking back that when I was by myself, I would have too many thoughts and I needed a distraction from my thoughts, which I thought was people, partying, all these things. So as I'm living this lifestyle and then going home alone, especially when my son, you know, on days he wasn't there with me, it was unbearable. to the point where I started allowing toxic people back into my life. People I had already cut ties with were now coming back in because they were there to fill the void that I couldn't fill myself at the time. So eventually, my friend who I was friends with, you know, prior to my son's birth, she became a constant in my life again. And she offered for us to live together. And at this point in time, that's what I wanted. I was like, this is perfect. Now I'll have her with me. You know, and I did end up getting a job and I had the car. So this was perfect. And it was, but for a very, very short period of time. So we get this apartment and I loved it. It was spacious and the kitchen was huge and I mean, space for days for our table and, you know, everything my son needed could be there. And there he had his own room and yeah, I wasn't alone anymore. I was so happy to be where I was at. But unfortunately, the partying and the drugs and the need for acceptance took over everything. If my friend said to me, we're going to a party tonight, but I knew I needed my son, I was going to have my son, I literally would tell his father, someone who abused me, I would ask him to take care of him an extra day because going to that party was more important. Because being known as party girl or the easy girl or the girl who would do whatever whenever was more important than being the mother to my son that I needed to be. Drugs, alcohol, people, places, and things were all I cared about. I was fully in active addiction, toxic relationships, and just had no idea what was actually happening. There's days I couldn't even tell you what happened because I don't remember. But after a while, a couple months, I don't know time frames, but time went by and we were using cocaine all the time, every single day, any chance we got. And when it ran out, we would figure out how to get more, no matter what we needed to sacrifice, including ourselves. These were all my choices. Don't, you know, think for a second that I'm blaming my friend for my choices, because ultimately at the end of the day, I was an adult, young adult, but I knew what I was doing. And my gut would constantly tell me to stop, but I ignored it because I just couldn't release those people, places, and things. I didn't want to leave that lifestyle. I wasn't ready. I simply wasn't ready. This day that I'm going to tell you about right now, I'll never forget. Out of all the days, all the crazy things that were happening, this day stands out to me. So me and my friend were bored and decided to go to a strip club because someone I knew was a stripper there. Well, they were home. They were visiting and they were dancing at this club. And I'd never been in, well, I lied. I had only been to a strip club once before, but under way different circumstances. And yeah, so it was totally a different experience than this. But I remember being nervous to go and I thought, I don't know if this is normal. Like, do I go? But we end up going and I walk in and I sit at the bar and my friend's over dancing with some guys. And I ended up dancing with them too. And we almost got kicked out because they said we were taking money from the dancers because we were giving these guys all this attention. So after that happened, I was like, well, I'm going to sit my ass down at the bar and just chill out and maybe have a conversation with someone. I don't remember how exactly I got seated next to this older man. And by older, I mean old enough to be maybe not my grandfather, but possibly too old to be my father. So somewhere in the middle there. But I remember sitting with him and I was getting really sad. I was talking about the fact that I was going to lose my job and I had my son and I needed to be able to provide him with a life that he deserved. And in my mind, that was everything. I wanted him to have everything. So this older man says to me that he has a company and he really needs a good assistant. And back then I was like, okay, like I've never done that kind of work before, but sure, why not? And he, you know, talked about how much money he would pay me. I remember having the conversation, you know, just seemed pretty normal in my brain back then. I mean, my unsober brain back then. It seemed like he was legitimately going to give me a work from home opportunity. where I'd be making all kinds of money and would be able to provide the life for my son that I wanted. So we exchanged numbers and I was like, cool, like I'll talk to you later or whatever I said. So me and my friend leave and the guys that we had been dancing with, I guess, were coming home with us. And I don't remember agreeing to this, but hey, who knows? I just remember being extremely uncomfortable and my friend and the guy that she was talking to were having fun together alone in a room and me and this guy who I guess I was dancing with, again, don't remember. All I remember about this man was that he didn't speak much English. So it was very hard for me to communicate with this person. And on top of that, I'm drunk. And then on top of that, my friend is in a room with another stranger in our home. And all I remember next is the person who didn't speak very good English was trying to force himself on me. And I don't remember if he actually, it's like I blacked out because I don't remember if he actually took advantage of me or if I ended up fighting him off. I truly don't remember. But I do remember the next day and feeling like a piece of shit. I felt gross. I felt disgusted with myself. And the next thing I know, I'm thinking of this guy, this older man that I had met at the club previously. I was like, well, maybe he can, you know, I'll message him or text him or whatever it was. So long story short, because this story is very involved, eventually me and this older man meet up and he's telling me that he lied to me, that there is no job. He just wanted to pay me to go out on dates with him, to hold his hand, also known as being his escort. And he threw numbers at me and it still sounded great. He said there would be no sex. It was just keeping up appearances with someone much younger than him on his arm. I said, well, hell, that seems easy. Sure. So I go back, you know, home and I tell my friend and she's like, wow, that's awesome. Yes, do it. Fully encouraged me. Still had that icky feeling inside like this probably isn't a great idea, but I need the money so we can have cocaine. Even though I wanted to give my son the life he deserved, I was still clouded with the fact that I needed money first to get my drugs so that I could be a better mom for my child. Just really backwards way of thinking. But back then, that's what my thought process was. So I ended up meeting up with this guy again, but this time was different. This time I found out the truth about this person. I remember going to the mall and he bought me so much stuff and it was so much fun, but then he didn't take me to my car. You see, I was smart enough to not have him pick me up at my home, so I would drive to a different location. But I remember the feeling I got when he said, well, no, we're going to go back to my place. It was almost like I instantly knew. I knew something really bad was about to happen to me. I was scared, but I had no way of getting out of the situation. I'd put myself here. So we get to his apartment and we spent some time out in the living room talking or whatever, and it seemed fine. But then I was like, all right, it's time to go. I need to go. And he was in his bedroom and I thought maybe he was like getting changed. I don't know. And then he calls me back. Amanda, come back here. I want to show you something. I'm like, okay. Seemed kind of strange. So then I go back there and he's laying in his bed and he asked me to lay down with him. So I'm laying there and I'm thinking, I really need to get out of this situation. Like, I'm so uncomfortable. I don't want to have sex with this person. That wasn't part of our plan or our deal or whatever you want to call it. And so I'm like, okay, I'm very uncomfortable. I remember I had my cell phone and I was dating someone at the time. Wonderful girlfriend I was, right? And the person I was dating kept texting me because we were supposed to go out on a date or hang out or something. And I kept going off and off and off and I would read them. I don't remember if I responded to them or not, to be honest. But what I do remember is this man's words to me. And they were, if that phone goes off one more fucking time, I will kill you. The fear that struck through my body was like a lightning bolt striking you. It was instant. Holy fuck, I'm going to die today if I don't listen to what this person is telling me to do. Luckily, for my sake, there was never any actual sex with this person. But he did force me to do other things. And then I begged him to take me home. Luckily, he did. He gave me way less money than what was agreed upon. And I felt like I had just been hit by a Mack truck and shoved into a gutter and had to show my face that way. Dirty, disgusting, humiliated, betrayed, and lost. Finally was able to call the guy I was dating and tell him that I would come get him. First, I had to go home, and I brushed my teeth. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was brushing my teeth so hard. I'm surprised that the enamel on my teeth didn't start just like falling out of my mouth. I used mouthwash like it was water. I remember looking at myself in the mirror, telling myself, you need to pull yourself together. You pretend like this didn't happen, and you tell no one. I didn't tell my boyfriend what had happened, which made me feel worse. Eventually, I did tell my friend, the girl who went to the club with me and that I was living with. I did tell her what had happened. Trusted her with this information. But she didn't seem overly concerned that I remember. But I do know that she said, well, next time we'll just go together. Or something like that. I doubt those are exact words. But so we did. Here I go. Putting myself right back into a situation that I never should have been in the first place. Because Amanda didn't want her friend to not like her. Amanda couldn't handle the fact that if she made a choice based on her own beliefs and how she felt inside of her, that she would lose everything. Because in Amanda's mind, this person was a good person. I thought this person cared about me. And if I lost that, there would be nothing left. So we did go back and, you know, all that. But when we went back, it was weird. It was okay at first. I knew she was there. I felt a little bit more safe. But again, nothing happened. And this guy got very, very angry, texting horrible things. Knew I had no gas in my car, gave us no money to get gas. I remember some text messages coming through saying, you know, that this is, you know, we were hurting him and how dare us come out there and tease him and this, that, and the other. Just very derogatory things. And it was really fucking scary. And I thought he would find us. Remember, I was so scared he's going to find us. And I don't know what's going to happen if he does. But again, that fear didn't stop me. I never went back to his place on my own. But I remember calling him because it was my friend's birthday and we wanted Coke and we couldn't find any. So I called him and I honestly don't know why. Some other girl answered the phone and it was this huge thing, argument that this person was her man and I'm not allowed to talk to him and he'll never help me. And the next morning when I woke up, remember that we like weren't going to be able to make rent. So we were really needing money bad, not just for rent, but for drugs too. So together we conjured up this amazing idea to rob this guy because we knew he had money and fuck it. What other option did we have? You know, we never thought of like, you know, getting jobs or, you know, figuring out a way to pay the rent without needing to rob a person. But those were the choices that I was making back then. We involved a few other people and we devised this plan to rob the man who raped me, threatened my life, texted my friend and I extremely horrible things, and scared me. And I thought it was a great idea to put myself back there and to rob him. I remember getting in my car and driving. At first, I had the adrenaline. I was like, yeah, we're going to rob this guy and he deserves it because of what he did to me and we're going to get away with it. And I made it maybe 10 minutes down the highway until reality struck. The sweat started pouring out of every pore of my entire body, shaking to the point where I could no longer control my car. And I looked at my friend who was in the passenger seat up front with me. I said, we're going to jail. I can't do this. And I got off the highway and she says, fuck it, I'll just drive. Okay. And I had my moment to abort mission. I could have gotten out of that car and let her drive off with the other people and turned my back on it and did what I needed to do on the other side to make it not happen. But I didn't. I got right back into the car sweating and shaking still, to go forward with doing this oh-so-wonderful plan that we had. So the point was that me and her were supposed to go into his apartment and get him into the restroom, and then the other people who were there were going to run up and barge into the apartment, and because we were supposed to keep the door unlocked, and rob this guy. And then somehow we were all going to get out and leave, and nothing was going to happen. And saying this out loud, it was a ridiculously bad idea. And one that I quickly realized was a bad idea, but still went through with because I felt I had to. Because I didn't trust myself. I didn't believe the words I was telling myself over the words of other people. I thought that if I don't do this, I'm going to lose the roof over my head. I'm going to lose my friends. And I'm going to lose everything else. I never thought for a second, not for a second, that I could be better. I never thought I was good enough to stand alone. So I went through with this. And I remember sitting in his apartment and the sweating just became heavier and heavier and heavier. And I remember I couldn't breathe. And I didn't have my cell phone because I had given my cell phone to the other people because we were supposed to text them and let them know to come up whenever everything was set up. And I remember the guy that we were, you know, plotting to rob at this point said to me, "Are you okay? You don't look like yourself." And I said, "Yes, I'm fine." And I grabbed my friend's phone out of her hand and said, "I need to call and check on my son." But I didn't. I didn't check on my son. I couldn't handle being in there. And I didn't want to do it anymore. So I ran down the steps and found the people that were involved and said, "If you're going to do it, go ahead, because I'm out. And that I can guarantee you," are my exact words. And I remember I ran. It was like I flew to my car because I don't remember the running. I just remember the landing. It was hot. It was so hot. I remember how hot it was and the sweat. And I just laid across the back seat of my car and just cried uncontrollably. And I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, everyone was running into the car and I was in the driver's seat, but my friend wasn't there. I was like, "We have to wait." And she comes running out and gets in the car. And I remember like asking him, like, "So is it done? Is it done?" And he had his wallet and there was like no money in it. There was nothing in it. We risked everything for nothing. I put myself there for nothing. Even if we wouldn't have gotten caught, there was no reward. But we didn't even make it out of the parking lot. And we were getting pulled over. And I remember pulling my car into this parking lot. We're on this very, very busy street. Cars just whizzing by. Remember, the cops had their guns drawn towards me. And all I could think about in that moment was my son. Because I was supposed to go pick him up that night. I needed to get myself out of this situation. They put the handcuffs on me and I'm face down on pavement. And I can remember all these people were watching and it was this huge, like something out of like a movie. But it was my life. It was happening to me because of these choices that I've made. And I can remember the police were interrogating us. What happened? You know, like you can tell us the truth. Like, just let us know. We'll let you, we'll let them, the courts know, and you won't sit in jail. You won't see jail. We promise. And I remember I was like, I can't. And I get into this police car. My friend's in there. She's in the back. They sat me in the front. She says something along the lines of, "Don't tell them anything. Tell them we didn't know. We'll get away with this." But I crumbled when they told me that I would get out. And all I wanted was for this to end. At the time, I didn't realize the magnitude of what I had done. So I told the truth. I mean, I told the cops everything because I believed what they were telling me. Because I was raised to trust the police. They had my best interest in mind. They cared about me. And it seemed like they did. I felt safe. So I opened up. No, I didn't tell them the story of how I was raped and had my life threatened by this person. Left that out. But I told them the story of how this all happened and what my part in it was. And they kept telling me, "You did the right thing. You're going to get out. You know, everyone else is going to get harder, hit harder more than you. Blah, blah, blah." Whatever they had to say to get it out of me, they did it. And then I remember going to the police station and then I had to write it all out. And I did. And looking back, I don't regret telling the truth because it's what I should have done. That's the right thing to do. It's always the right thing to do to tell the truth, but I shouldn't have done it when I did it. I should have just held off and kept my mouth shut, which many of you listening, and if you've been involved with the police, you know what a huge error I made in doing this. So then we all get sent to jail. And that is where I will continue next week. I know that was a lot, and it's an emotional story for me to tell. But through that experience, and as I was telling it to you, like looking back, what I learned was that I really need to lean into myself. I learned that I had the answers. I knew not to do this. I knew that I should have convinced everyone to just not do it, and I should have just left it at that. I made the wrong choice. But guess what? Through that choice, I learned a lot about what actually matters. You know, because in doing the robbery and being involved in it, I was thinking about myself. I was thinking about drugs. I was thinking about money. I was thinking about getting back at someone who hurt me. But as soon as I got caught, as soon as I knew it was over, all I could think about was what I should have been thinking about, myself and my son. If I would have started putting myself and my son first, I never would have ended up there. I never would have been face down on the pavement and get it having someone step on my head. Yes, someone stepped on my head. And what I learned too is that not everything is as it seems, okay? People will come into our lives and look perfect. Oh my gosh, she's amazing. Or oh my gosh, he is so great. But we still have to be careful with what we tell and who we trust with our lives. I needed to sit back and really look at the people I was choosing to be around. Probably heard at some point in your life, 5 people you spend the most time with is who you'll become. My goodness, if that couldn't be more true. Because back then, guess who I was hanging out with? Drug addicts, criminals, people with no money. And guess what I became? A drug addict, a criminal, and a person with no money. Person who chose robbing someone over being there for her son. You know, it's hard to see the good in bad situations. And that situation, in the moment, there was not one good thing in my brain as to why that happened. But as I sit here today, I know why it happened. Because I had to go through that. Just like you listening, there are certain things that you've been through in your life that you probably sit around and think like, well, why did that have to happen to me? Why was I at the wrong place at the wrong time, as they like to say? Why did I choose that? Why couldn't this have happened to somebody else? Why me? But it's not why me. It's not that you did anything wrong. It's not that you are less deserving of good things than the other person. It's that you had to go through these experiences to be the person you are today. Look back at your life. If you haven't have gone through certain scenarios, would you be the same person? I know I wouldn't be. If my life would have gone according to plan, this podcast wouldn't exist. My story would not exist. We had to go through hard things in life to be the people we are today, to be able to spread hope and joy to others. My affirmations from this story that I just told you about my life are, I can trust myself to make the right choices for myself. I can trust myself to make the right choices in my life for myself. I do not need outside validation for my choices. I do not need outside validation for my choices. I am resilient. I am resilient. I have the power to control the choices that I make. I have the power to control the choices that I make. Thank you so much again for listening to today's episode of the Let Good Things In show. Next week, I'm going to talk to you more about going into jail and what happened in between being arrested and then getting sentenced. And just as a reminder yet again, if you haven't, make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of the show. And remember, you're stronger than you think. And you can have the life you imagine, regardless of your past. And I will talk to you all soon.